This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pa Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a toasty and tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Jim? Can you feel it, Dan? Is it working?
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I can feel it.
Strong.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org. How are you guys doing tonight?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we came on today and we wanted to talk about starting up podcasting. And one of the big themes of the Fiends has always been a learning hospital. So I think it's great that we get to teach people how to do this. And that's kind of been the spirit of the Fiends forever and always. And today I'm on here, Nick Hazelton. I've got my own podcast I've started with the help of Michael Dean and the Freedom Fiends. And we also have Dan Green, who has the Greening Out podcast, right?
Had.
Oh.
I think that's important to mention here.
It was good while it lasted, though.
No, absolutely. It's a long story, but we'll get there. But just kind of we got all we could out of that, and we're sort of doing other things, and we don't have maybe the time to do that. But so it's kind of retired for now.
Okay. And Jim Jesus, you're setting up a podcast too, right?
Yeah, I'm setting up a podcast. We were going to start recording the first episode today, but we had a little bit of trouble. You know, real life intervened. And hopefully we're going to start recording tomorrow. I got a bunch of interesting co-hosts that are going to help me do it. I think you said you were going to hop on board too, so I put a little bio on there. Yeah, so you're on there too. So it's going to be more of a comedy type thing, but we're going to talk about libertarian issues as well.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When I guess I started my show about a year ago. Well, I don't know when I started. I called into Michael Dean After Dark way back when, and he set me up with a microphone. We got started, and I was excited when I got to get the opportunity to podcast and get on radio, because it's really, truly an amazing thing to be able to do, especially if you can reach some people to get up on microphone and talk about what you like to talk about. It's really empowering.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree. And I've heard your podcast as well, Nick. I've listened to it quite a bit. It's interesting, though, isn't it, when you start sort of doing things like that? Because, I mean, well, for example, Nick, how did you get started in doing it? Like, what made you really, like, what was the thing where you decided, right, instead of just talking about it, I'm like talking about it to other people, I'm going to talk about it to everyone?
When I got into libertarianism, I've always been interested in politics since I was 14. So I was always wanting to get out and talk about it. And the way I was doing it on Facebook, and I had a little blog on like Blogspot or something, and I was trying to push out some people. Oh, it was terrible. And it wasn't effective. I was trying to rope people into arguments and whatnot, and it just, I wasn't getting anywhere. And I decided, like, hey, it'd be kind of fun to do a podcast one time. And then I called into Michael Dean After Dark, and he surprised me with, oh, guess what, Nick, you won a microphone, we're gonna help you set up a podcast. So I mean, I just got thrown into it.
Yeah, this was back in the day when the Fiends took calls, right?
Yeah, way back when.
Yeah, way back. Blast from the past.
It's probably better that we don't take calls, to be fair.
No, yeah. I'm not going to have that on my podcast, that's for sure. The callers sound horrible as they are, so not interested.
Oh, yeah. I called in on a home phone, too. That was one of the big things. That was terrible.
Were Michael's ears bleeding or something?
Yeah. He probably pulled a Howard Dean scream on me and get off.
Sometimes I'd like to take calls just to see what happens, because I think it would go, like, any show I was on that took calls would go downhill very, very quickly. So I didn't think it would be funny just to see.
Yeah, every once in a while I do a hangout, and I'll bring people on, or I'll allow people to chat in the people chatting in the chat room. Will completely derail whatever it is I'm doing. But sometimes it's good, sometimes it's for the better. And, you know, that's kind of why I wanted to start a podcast, so I could just be a little bit more focused and not have to deal with, you know, other people trying to hop in and get their say in. And, you know, if you just have one or two other people that I want on to have a conversation with, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a better way to do it, isn't it? Like when Katie, my wife, and I, when we started our podcast, it was largely because we'd been like sitting having a lot of these kind of mad conversations, and like we were listening to a lot of podcasts at the time, and we just kind of thought, well, you know, why not? And then, you know, we were quite sort of into libertarianism and things like that, but like there was like no libertarian media at all. Still isn't really. There's a little bit, but not much. Coming out of, like, well, let's just say the UK in general, never mind Scotland. So, like, we thought this would probably be a good thing to do, and probably one of the... I mean, it was really good doing it, especially up around about the time of the Scottish independence referendum and things like that, because our thing, our stats went way up around about that time. But that was mostly, it was kind of like the two of us, because we're a bit sort of goofy, and it was supposed to be kind of lighthearted, but then it went in all kinds of weird places. We ended up interviewing all sorts of people. Like, we had Lucian Greaves from the Satanic Temple. We had him on, like, you know, we had all sorts of crazy people on like this. It's just, well, not that he's crazy, but like all sorts of different people, because we ended up, we started out sort of narrowly, mostly about libertarian issues, but then we kind of ripped through them pretty quickly, and then we had to find something else to talk about. So then it just went to basically whatever we were interested in. It started blooming outwards, and we kept trying to put libertarian spins on it, but that kept getting harder and harder at one point.
Yeah, that's one thing I do like about The Fiends, that it's not always constantly, let's read the news and see what tyranny has gone on with me today, and let's take some calls and yell at them about the non-aggression principle for an hour. That kind of thing gets grating after a while. I could see the appeal when you're first getting into it, but then after a while, you're just like, okay, let's find something more interesting. And that's what I really did like about The Fiends. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's kept me listening to them, to us.
I know, absolutely.
Listening to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's that kind of theory that if the government was out of the way, this is, you know, this is what I should, you'd have, this is the kind of show you would have, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like, it's just some, you do get some shows and you feel like that every week they're just saying that they're repeating the same lines every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, man, you've got to take it somewhere different, because, like, you just can't keep doing this over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do we have to explain the non-aggression principle, you know? How many times do you need to explain self-ownership? You know, after a while, you're just like, okay, it's been, you know, 4 years, and I've been listening to you 3 hours a day, 7 days a week, and can we move topics now?
I made that mistake early on with my podcast, and I did a show like sort of all about the non-aggression principle, and now when I look back and think, why did I bother, man? Like, you know, it just doesn't seem like there was much point in doing it, to be honest.
I'm sure it has its place, but, you know, it's just every show, every day, all the entire show, it just... It gets grating after a while, you know, but if you touch on it here and there, I don't have, it's not that bad, but it seems like that's what a lot of libertarian podcasts try to do, is just, they just spend, you know, it's a 3-hour discussion about the non-aggression principle, and they have entire YouTube channels and podcasts just dedicated to saying, talking nothing but the non-aggression principle, you know, and it gets boring after a while, you know.
Yeah.
The ones that keep it fun, like the Fiends, you know, they talk about it every once in a while, but for the most part, it's, you know, they have fun, and that's what a lot of people are lacking, is just fun. You know, oh, what tyrannical thing did Obama do to us today, which is good to talk about, but when it's all day, every day, yeah, it gets repetitive.
Yeah, and it's got to be fun because, I mean, nobody wants to listen to you. I mean, that doesn't make exactly libertarianism look attractive if all they hear is these people moaning and whinging, like, every time they turn on a podcast. They'd be like, well, I don't want to be one of them, man. That sounds depressing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, you need to keep it light, man. It's just, it's my new philosophy, a new philosophy of keeping it light. But, like, now, even though it's funny, even though I'm not doing a podcast now, I'm sort of like, the podcasting got me into so many other things. Like, it's been just been the best thing, you know. Obviously, it got me into doing this on the radio, which is a lot of fun, but it also got me into, like, music and things like that. And I wouldn't have got, like, I used to be into that kind of, like, playing in bands and stuff when I was younger, but I hadn't bothered about it for years. But then when I got a mixer and things like that, again with a bit of Michael's help, a lot of Michael's help, then when I started realizing, like, I could record stuff myself, then I just, now I've got wires all over the house, man. It's just starting to get ridiculous in here.
Yeah, now I have rugs all over my walls, and I have styrofoam in the corners, and everyone that comes in my room is just like, what is going on in here? It's a long story. Sit down and pull up a mic. We'll talk about it.
I've got a temporary setup for mine. I drag, like, an Ethernet cable from across the room downstairs into mine, and I just built myself a little fort of pillows. So I'm just, yeah. I don't have a professional studio.
Do you know a little sign outside that say no statists allowed? I think that would be necessary.
I don't think I'd be able to get many people to come in my room. I don't know many anarchists.
Maybe that would be the point.
That's true.
You see? And that's true then. It's the kind of thing that, like, it can be addictive, actually, once you get started. When you start getting into it, you do start doing things, like, you see rugs on sale and you'll go, they look awful, but my wall needs some soundproofing.
Freedom Beans, rug in your walls.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends, back from the free market. And I just got this letter from Michael Dean, and I think I need to read it because it seems very important. He says that Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. So there's that. So anyways, we're here with Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist, and Dan Green from Dan Green, and we're talking about podcasting and being on the radio. And so I guess we could talk a little bit about equipment. I don't want to bore anybody with, you know, details about what brands of stuff you got and how you're patching it in. We don't need to do all that, but I'm just curious. You know, I think the person that's been podcasting here the longest would be you, Mr. Green, right?
I think so. I believe so. We'll go with yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, what was your setup roughly like? Was it, you know, was it fancy? Did you drop a lot of coin on it, or?
Oh, well, in the very, very early days, it was this sort of like a portable recorder, and we didn't even have like a microphone each. It was like these two little built-in microphones, and we used to just sit it on the table in front of us. That was like the sort of how we started doing it. And then we just found a cheap microphone, and like we were using that for a bit in the computer, sort of like, so we were recording like interviews via Skype with like one cheap microphone between the two of us on the computer, and then recording shows with just the two of us on this little terrible recorder on this just sitting on the table in front of us. And then like it kind of, we thought we were going to become a bit smart about this, and we bought what we thought was like a kind of, it was a USB mic, but we thought it was going to be really good, but it was this condenser piece of nonsense. And again, it was this whole one mic thing, like the two of us leaning away forward in this table in front of us, you know, sharing this one mic. And then it was this bad that we actually had like, we used to plug in like, you know, earbud sort of headphones, and we would have one bud each, so we could hear what was going on. Like that's, yeah, it was proper, man. It was as bad as you can imagine it. And we were doing this for a while. And actually what we'd done is it was one of the shows we'd done. We'd mentioned the Freedom Fiends and I'd put it in the tags. And then like we got an email, like I think it was a week or so later, and it was from Michael Dean, and he'd come across it. And he was like, yeah, you guys seem funny and things like that, but your audio is just unbelievably bad. He used stronger words than that, but this is the radio and we're not going to use those words. But yeah, so basically, and then he offered to help us. And at first he gave us just like basic tips. Like, so we didn't like, so just now speaking at a microphone that's got like a windscreen on it, bit of foam thing that basically makes it sound better, but we didn't have these for this USB microphone that we were using way back in the day. And Michael even gave us basic suggestions, like just put some like tights over it, you know, it'll dampen it down a bit, it'll sound a bit better. So we're doing that at first, and then we decided that we were actually just going to spend a bit of money. So it's funny, Michael helped us get like a mixer and things like that, gave us suggestions of what to get. We ended up getting just like a basic mixer, you know, a couple of microphones, dynamic microphones, not condenser microphones. That's important, but not to geek out a bit too much, but like...
Yeah, no one wants to hear the garbage truck 3 miles away picking up trash, so you're going to get a dynamic mic.
But it's funny because when Michael was helping us set up our stuff, it was like... I was sort of like, you know that way where you give children those little things and they've got like, it's maybe a bit of wood and it's got shapes cut out, and then they get the little blocks in the form of the shapes and they have to put them in, you know, and match them up. That's what it was kind of like when Michael was telling me how to set up the mixer, because I wasn't sure what I was doing. I was like the child trying to put the star block into the square hole. But that's my equipment journey. Fascinating, I know.
And what about you, Nick?
Well, I got the Audio Technica 2005 USB mic from Michael, and then I work off my laptop. I'm doing the same thing I have for the last year, mm-hmm. And that's it.
Hey, it's simple and it works, right?
That's right.
And it sounds good.
Yeah,
so Michael Dean kind of did the same thing to me. He had me running around buying stuff. Originally, it was the microphone, and that helped with... Because I came at this from a podcasting thing. And for the most part... Not podcasting, but a YouTube thing. And for the most part, a lot of my videos like don't show anything. It's just like a picture, then me talking on top of it. So it's basically like a very short little podcast for YouTube. And he was annoyed by my audio, and he told me to go and get the microphone and sent me a mixer. So I kind of feel your pain when I was setting up the mixer. It was horrible. It was a nightmare, but we got it working, so Anyways, we're going to go off to the free market. More worms. When we come back. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Green, and I'm here with Nick Hazelton and Jim Jesus talking a bit about podcasting, how we got into it. We all podcast or have podcasted at one time in our lives.
Or will podcast.
Yes. Couldn't miss that one out. Thank you, sir. I think as well, we were talking about in the last segment about gear and stuff, and I think one of the things that I kind of wanted to sort of make clear as well is like, you don't have to spend a lot of money these days to actually get really good audio quality, you know, like, because it might sound like if you haven't bought all this equipment, it might sound like you buy a mixer and stuff like that, and it might sound like it costs you a fortune, but you can get a decent mixer now for not a lot of money at all. And I kind of like how it's so affordable now. It's almost like there seems almost like there's no reason not to. Do you know what I mean? Because, I mean, like Nick even said, Nick's just using like a mic and a computer and his podcast sounds great. And, I mean, there's even all these free programs now, you know. I take it you guys edit using Audacity.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's completely free. And it's as well, you know, like, you can get, like, recorders to Skype and things if you're using that and stuff, so like there's not really much of a reason not to now. Unless you're sane.
Yeah. And was really good about the medium. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to see you.
Oh, yeah, ask you, question. You guys go. Oh geez.
No, you go.
Say it already.
The thing that cost me the most on the podcast, I mean, I got my mic free, but still, even if I did buy the mic, the most that cost was the website domain and the hosting stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I paid $300 for next 3 years or something. I don't know what I did. But that was really it. And you don't even really have to do that to get a decent podcast going. And that has nothing to do related to audio either.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, if you really want to, there's websites like Stitcher or something like that, but it's probably not a good idea in the long term to host your stuff on someone else's site when you can host it yourself. That way you can keep it safe yourself. You know, seems like a better option, but you know, that's there in case you need it, in case, you know, you can't afford it, you know, and all you got is to, you know, you can afford is a $50 mic. That's a good, that may be a temporary option for you until you get better and get some donations and or tips or whatever you want to call them. and then invest in a website.
Donations, man. Oh. Like we used to get them now and again, but like, you know, when we were doing them, Katie would hate. She would hate like saying at the end, you know, do you want to donate to it? She would always say like, you can donate if you want, but you don't have to. But if you feel like you can, but I'm not saying you need to. And you're like, calm down, man. You're just saying.
I think that's implied already.
Oh man. Oh, but you know, that being said, that the equipment can be bought relatively cheaply. I mean, if you think you're going to make a living out of podcasting, I would think about that again.
if your goal is to become your new job, I'd say you're doing it wrong. And even I would say that just not just goes into podcasting, but that's just professional libertarian to begin with. If you're going to make your job solely talking about libertarianism, you're essentially going to sell your soul in a way, and not in the kind of like hipster sort of way, but just more like you're going to have problems with taking criticism, that sort of thing. It's going to be very hard to keep honest. You know, appeal, and then also appeal to a certain demographic that will keep constantly flowing in money. And you would have to essentially just be promoting yourself more than your ideas, and I think that could be problematic in the end. But yeah,
absolutely. And well, funnily, you mentioned, speaking of criticism, when you put yourself out there, you do open yourself up to that kind of stuff. I mean, well, Nick, you've been podcasting a while. Have you received much kind of in the way of, you know, these, what we call them, trolls, haters, whatever we want to say?
I've actually only had one troll.
One?
And that was recently. Yeah, I don't have a huge audience.
Was it Jim?
I do. I did wonder that. Their username was like anonymous.
How did they troll you?
I'm shredding all the files right now. I'm denying everything.
They called me out on I recently dropped out, or I rose out of public school here in the States. And they called me out for, I was planning to go back and sit in on this AP statistics class, a math course, and just take it without getting graded on it, just so I could learn it. And so they called me out on using tax-funded resources to better myself while claiming to be an anarchist.
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
Well, at least we know you're a hypocrite now.
That's right. I'm calling them a troll, but it may be a valid criticism.
Yeah. I don't know if it was just the way Katie and I were with our podcast, but we seem to attract a lot of the nutters, man. Like, I used to get all these weird emails from people, like, and there was the basic ones of, like, some people, like, saying, there was some American people, I got this in various forms more than once, but, like, someone actually used the phrase, "You invented the language, now try speaking it." Now, I've got it on pretty good authority that English was around before 1986 when I was born. I'm quite sure that people had heard of it. So I don't know where you get that from for a start, man. And like, but I used to get some weird ones. I used to get some really good ones that were like, a lot of people used to like email me with suggestions and things that I hadn't ever thought of. So there was a lot of, you know, those people that would send constructive emails. But I used to get people, one guy sent me a thing and it was actually about, I can't even remember, I deleted it, but it was about the Loch Ness Monster, but there was a conspiracy theory, and he was talking about the Masons and things like that, and it was weird. I couldn't tell if he was making fun of me or if he was just crazy and really believed it. It was this big, I didn't even read the whole thing. Like, halfway through, I was like, I've got to delete this. This is scary, man. Like, I was kind of worried that he was going to show up at my house or something. It was really weird stuff, man. But, like, is this the thing? Half the time, I couldn't tell if people were just making fun of me or if they were seriously crazy.
¿Por qué no las dos? Why not both?
Oh, Jim, you do, you put stuff on YouTube, man. You must have thought the horrors of the YouTube comment section.
If you think your comments from your podcast are bad, come to YouTube. Try posting something on YouTube, anything on YouTube. It seems as though, like, most people aren't really trying to troll. They're just naturally that dumb. And, they're unintentional trolls is what I call them. And I've had all fair share. I mean, I've gone after the Zeitgeist movement. I've gone after Marxists. I've gone after fellow libertarians. You name it. And when you do that, especially if you're like going after someone rather than, you know, like talking about something, either way you're going to get negative comments. But it seems like you're going to draw more of that crowd, that evil YouTube commenter crowd, who will just, and they can say the most insane thing. Like, I think the most insane thing I had was when I was talking about a group called the Zeitgeist Movement, which if just a long, too long didn't read version of this is, they're basically Marxists with robots. His argument to convince me that I was wrong about how saying that this wouldn't work was that I needed to listen to this guy, and I'm not going to mention him by name, but he's a channeler who channels this ancient alien spirit who tells us that, you know, the world's going to be a lot better and we're going to turn into a technocracy, and I was like, Chandler. That's where we're going now. that's how we're going to argue for economic systems now. Well, a Chandler, you know, inherent fraud is telling me that that we should do this. That doesn't seem like a very compelling argument to me. I don't know.
I love the YouTube. Sometimes, like, I go to watch a YouTube video and I end up going to read the comments, and then I end up not watching the video because I'm too busy reading the comments.
Oh yeah, I love the comments.
There was a comedian, an English comedian called Adam Buxton, and he made this show called Bug. It was on, well, a few years ago, and that was the main basis of his act, because he did this like live in a stand-up set, and he would have like a computer in front of him and a screen at the back, and he would basically he would show a lot of like cool videos and stuff, but he would then show you like down on the real YouTube comments section, and he actually made an act out of like just using the YouTube comments sections. I know people have done it, you know, since and stuff, but I really like the way he did it. But it's even funny now that you can make an act out of this. That's how good it is. It's just he's looked at this and he's gone, there's free material all over the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's amazing, man. You've got to look for it. You know, it's just completely free material. Some people in the comments section are hilarious.
Oh yeah, I love reading those sometimes. How often do you respond to people, Jim?
I love responding to almost anyone that I can, because I want to see how far down the rabbit hole we go. Like sometimes, like especially if they're really insane, then I'll really kind of like, well, tell me more about this. Like I'm really interested. Tell me about this Chandler guy. Like, you know, he believes in space alien, or he channels a space alien, and this alien says, "What exactly?"
But then you think, I mean, is he being serious, or is this just some mad satire that he enjoys, you know, because it could be either way.
Well, the beauty about YouTube is you can actually go back and see what kind of videos if they allow it to be viewed. You can see what kind of videos that they liked, and you know, where they commented on Google Plus and all that stuff. And he seemed like he was a big fan of this Chandler guy, so it he was either like really invested in this troll, or he was dead serious.
That's the question: how far would you go to troll someone?
Like, I'm going to spend the next 3 years pretending to be this fan of some guy on YouTube, and then I'm going to go out and troll people with that. That seems that's a heavy investment right there.
It really is, but if you've got nothing better to do. Which makes me wonder sometimes, like, you know, it's one of those things where when some people who genuinely start annoying you, like, you know, some trolls can be funny and you just sort of bat them off like, that guy's crazy. But I kind of wonder when some people are, like, genuinely going after you, like, what's the point then? What did you get out of it? I want to help these people, and we will do it after the break.
The free market.
Ooh, scary.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakalist. We're here with Jim Jesus and Dan Green. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Fantastic.
And we're talking about trolls, being a podcaster and being online. If you're producing any sort of content, you tend to get some. I luckily have not had to deal with a whole lot. But I know you guys have, and you have some more stories. Do you guys?
Did you not just recently get a comment, Jim, when we were on the break?
Yeah, I did. Someone said that I was... I could actually read it to you. It's actually kind of funny. I don't think he's American, so I think he's typing. He's a little bit weird. But he says, "You a known troll. Unfortunately, people," and he spells it PPL, "just don't submit to your troll guidance on these matters." I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm just gonna smile and nod and move along.
You're not going to offer troll guidance.
I actually did kind of troll him back. I just said that wasn't an argument.
You just can't help yourself, can you? It's like must troll.
Yeah, must troll trolls. Trolls trolling trolls trolling trolls. Yeah.
See, I used to argue with people online and stuff, but I just can't be bothered now. You know, I'm just like, who cares, man? Like, I'm just at that point now. I feel like I'm too old or just too lazy, you know, as well. And I get the feeling sometimes people would argue with me online, but I knew they were just copying and pasting things from other websites, do you know what I mean? Presenting it as their argument. And I was like, I'm done with this, man.
What the heck did you just say about me? You're the Navy SEAL troll. No, man, I love the trolls. I love the trolls. And it's mostly because you get to, that's like the one time where you actually control someone and not have to worry about the repercussions. Because if you're trolling trolls, no one cares. If you're trolling people trying to make serious arguments, then people get, okay, let's go, what's going on here? Let's just throw him in the trash. You don't have to listen to anything else he's saying because he's a known troll, right?
Yeah, oh, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, it's safe to troll a troll, if you want to put it that way.
And but trolls aren't always bad. If you think about what happened with Plato, and Plato was making, you know, these arguments about, you know, the perfect man, and there was a vagrant who lived in the city that Plato did, and you know, he came up with a bird that he had plucked all the feathers out and threw it on the ground in front of him and said, "There's Plato's perfect man." Sure, he was trolling, but he was also making a great point against his arguments. So I mean, you just can't completely discount trolls, especially when you're looking at this guy who was always arrested for doing things. He was always drunk, you know, being lewd in public and that sort of thing. So, I mean, yeah, even trolls can bring it. And people have argued, and I think that they have a good point, that the Socratic method can be used to troll people. And if you go and watch Jan Hetfield's video channel, he's a reporter who uses the Socratic method. I mean, people get riled up and upset, and people get, you know, but when he's, you know, making these arguments, because it seems like it's trolling, like it's trying to make them upset, and apparently it works. So,
yeah, I used to be a nihilist, and that's all nihilists do online. That's like the only meaning in life is to troll people.
That's why I'm still a nihilist.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. And it's really fun. You just ask them questions. Like, define this term. And, you know, they say whatever. And you get them to define. And it's like all the way down to they can't do it anymore. And they just get upset and leave.
I was on one nihilist Facebook group before. I was just having a look at it, you know. I've read things about it, and I was just kind of interested. But, like, all they seemed to be doing in this particular group was just, like, sharing these memes that were basically all they amounted to was, "There's no point in your life in anything, it's just meaningless, who cares?" In which case, I thought, why don't you all just kill yourself then? Because it seems to me that you are a bunch of people who seem to want to do it really badly. But like, I only talked about this one Facebook group, to be fair, just so we know. But like, it just seemed like I just thought you'd be as well just killing yourself, man. Just give us a break.
Freedom fiends, kill yourself.
It's a positive, uplifting message.
Yeah. I guess we're gonna go to the free market and the propaganda for a bit.
Invisible hands.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we are here with Nick Hazelton. That's cool. And Dan Green, they are either current or former podcasters, and we're talking about the art of podcasting. I'm going to be I guess I'm podcasting right now, but I'm going to be starting my own podcast soon. So basically, I'm just using this as an opportunity to steal ideas and stuff from them. So how you guys doing today?
Okay. Oh, good, man. It's funny, actually. That's one of the things that I was starting to have some problems with in the podcast, because, like, after about a year, I'd sort of ran through everything I intended to go through, and then I was, like, sort of stuck after that a bit. Like, most of the things, there's some things I didn't do, but most of the things I wanted to do, I'd kind of done, and I'd gone on and done sort of things that I didn't intend to do at all. We did an entire show about Alice in Wonderland. You know, why not?
It's a good episode, though.
It's one of those things, Ben. We decided that we were going to read it for some reason. Like, my wife, she collects a lot of the books. She's got, like, them from all different times, sort of the 20s right up till sort of now, a couple before that. And we just decided we were just going to do this show about it, and then it ended up, there's a lot of material in that. That's a weird book. It really is, Ben.
The story behind listen. It's interesting too.
Aye, but
if you want to get into that, that's going to be a whole other show. That's
an old. Really is.
Nick, you're currently working on a series, aren't you? A series of podcasts.
I guess I'm always kind of doing this one series, which is the Foundations of Philosophy. Mm-hmm. That's just a recurring thing, because I have to go back and revisit them because I learned something new and I changed my mind. But, you know, so I had to go back. So it's just kind of, at this point, it's the show, basically. I do the Philosophy Foundation episodes, and then I throw farming and other stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, do you sort of do it, like, so you say, like, Foundations of Philosophy, are you doing it, like, from your sort of own perspective, or are you, like, building, for example, research one person or one theme every time and do it that way?
No, I just do mine.
Just the way it is to you?
Yeah.
See, I kind of think that's better, do you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes you listen to some sort of podcast and they're good, but they're kind of scholarly and you sort of get a little bored. But I like it when people are talking kind of from their own perspective about things, because it makes more sense to me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and part of it is that I don't know much about anything except what I believe. You know, I'm young. I'm 17, so I haven't had time to research Socrates and Nietzsche. So I don't know anything. All I know is the little things I've read and what I've taken and ran with. And I'm trying to get my points across, right? It's my propaganda tool is the podcast. So I'm trying to push my agenda with it, right? So I don't like to talk about other people's views.
Nice. Although by saying you don't know anything, you sounded like Socrates there.
That's true.
And Jim, your podcast is going to be more humor-based. You're not going to be getting into any of that. You're not going to be doing, I'm guessing you're not going to be doing shows on fundamental topics about things.
Oh yeah, we're not going to go into the deep aspects of economics from first principles or anything like that. But a couple of the people that we have on like understand this stuff very thoroughly. So including myself, so we could get into it theoretically, but we don't want to unless we can find a way to make it funny or humorous or at least give a perspective that we come from that position. Or at least understand that position in my case, but and make a commentary based on that. We want to kind of keep it humorous. There's a lot of that stuff on YouTube talking about, or not YouTube, but podcast and YouTube as well. You know, going into the philosophy behind economics, and so we just don't want to be another clone of that. We want to have fun, and that's what we're going to be doing. So we're going to have like some serious stuff going on, but we're going to keep it light and entertaining as well.
No epistemology?
Yeah. No epistemology.
Unless they can find a way to make epistemology hilarious.
Yeah, or maybe we can. You get it. Yeah, we can play that. That Kant song, if you really
want. The Monty Python one?
No, they had, there's a song on YouTube, and I could probably pull up the title later, where it basically goes through all of Kant's philosophy in song. a little piano jig, and it's really good. And we'll probably have to link to that or something. It's a great song. But if we can do something like that, that would be fun, you know. But we'd just sit there and just talk about, like, okay, let's talk about first principles for an hour. There's already that show. There's like 8 of those shows, right? I'm not concerned about doing that. I mean, there are other comedy shows, but especially when you're talking about comedy shows, I mean, there's going to be people who are not going to be interested in that particular person, right? They're not going to find that person funny. They find their personality grating. So there's always going to be something like that. So there's got to be something for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited to hear your show, and I'm excited to be on it sometime.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you are.
You're a co-host.
He'll troll you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on your podcast and troll you. Where's that? My login for and on. Wait, did I say that? Scratch everything.
The other thing as well is we were talking about sort of maybe before like trolls and stuff like that, and well, this might not really be trolling per se, but I was saying some strange people used to get in touch with me, and there was like this point where there was like a kind of rash of people who were asking to like come on my show, and for the most part it was fine. It was just people who were like, you know, so and so, you know, I'd like to come on. And a lot of the time we really wouldn't bring anyone on unless we kind of were familiar with their work at least and sort of had an idea of who they were. But there was one or two people, one person in particular, who will remain nameless. I don't even know if that was his real name anyway, but he was like, he was so relentless. He was like, can I come on your show and that? And we're like, well, nah, man, and have you got any work or anything? And he's like, no, not really. And we're like, well, no, you're not coming on then. And then he was like, oh, I need exposure and things. And I'm like, man, who do you think we are? Like, we get like a few hundred downloads a month, man. Do you know what I mean? I'm not CNN over here. And like, that's the thing. Like, he was like, I need exposure. I was like, well, you might want to go elsewhere for exposure. But he didn't seem to get that for some reason. And then he started writing these bad blogs and then sending me links to them going, see, I have done work. And then he sent me a link to a YouTube channel, and half of it was like music videos and animation. And there was like 3 videos of him and, you know, sitting on a couch talking about libertarianism, but basically just like it was like repeating things that I'd heard like even like Stefan Molyneux say before, like the same sort of arguments and things. And it was weird, man. And like it was for ages he just wouldn't leave me alone, and I just wondered why. I was like, surely you're bothering people with bigger podcasts too and not just me, or else there's something weirdly wrong with you, man. Because you know, you might reach a couple of hundred people, good for you, you know.
Yeah, now the comment section is going to be full. It's like, oh, you guys had this guy too? It wasn't just me?
We'll start a support group.
Yeah. leave me alone, the support group.
That's actually see the trolls, the sort of commenters that make the offhand comments. They don't bother me so much. It's the kind of people like that that are like sending you creepy emails and things like that, and sort of like, you know, writing weird blogs for your benefit. You know, like, it's that's bizarre behavior to me, and that's what freaked me out more than, like, I don't mind if someone sent comments saying, like, you know, you sound weird, yeah, jock, or whatever. Like, try to think of an appropriate Scottish racial slur, but it's not really coming just now. but you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff that doesn't bother me. What, a Scottish racial slur? I'm sure I can think of one. There used to be great, the Irish used to have great ones for the English. What was the word? Sassenach. That was a great bit of vernacular. But I digress.
I like to invite people on my show. I wish I had that problem having to deny people. I ask for people to email me. I'm like, hey, email me if you want to talk. I even let Jim on my show once.
Even let me on the show.
That's right.
That anybody can get on.
Nick, you didn't want these emails.
I think you paid me though.
No, I paid you, then you offered. I wasn't like, hey, come on.
No, yeah, didn't like
that. And I was like, okay, whatever. I just wanted to pay you, but okay, I'll be on your show.
Yeah, you only
that could be your new tagline.
I'm pretty cheap.
Yeah, it was $2. I donated $2. Oh, man.
That could be your new tagline, Nick. The Anarcho-Yakitalism Podcast. We even let Jim Jesus on.
There you go. Start working on the graphic right now. Start working on the new logo.
I know, the emails I had from people, they weren't like super intelligent people being like, yes, hello, I'm a young intelligent man and I have lots of interesting opinions to come on your show and talk about with my great audio. You know, it was never like that. It was like, I'm some weirdo who has this weird opinion about some, like, it was, oh, see the people that, like, you've never talked about this in your show, and it was some weird obscure battle or something that I'd never heard of and had nothing to do with me, and they're like, I happen to be an expert in this mad obscure battle, and I was like, well, good for you. Maybe you should have picked something that people care about. That's not my problem.
Their life decisions, yeah.
I sound awful though.
Yeah, I spent my entire life learning about the Whiskey Rebellion. It's like, okay. That's interesting.
Then I started to think, I should become an expert in something obscure, and I'll be the, that means I'll get to be the world expert on something, but just that nobody will care about it.
That's what I've done with yaks.
Freedom Fiends, going to a break, going to the free market, and I'm going to go read up on rice cakes and be the world's foremost expert on rice cakes. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
And the art of trolling, I suppose, not only online but in ancient Greece also. That's the kind of highbrow show that you're listening to.
Yeah, let Jim Jesus on.
But you know, it's funny because we were talking a little bit about like trolling and things, and you know, how you get, I suppose you can get helpful trolls as well. But I suppose like most of the emails and stuff I got were actually, they were good, they were like helpful, or they were just like kind of nice people who liked the show. So like, but the funny thing was, before I started, I don't know, I think I know some people that have this as well, but it took me a while to get going putting stuff online, because I assumed that I was like, oh, I'll put this stuff out there and then immediately I'll just get trolled left, right and centre and it'll be terrible, you know. And then you put some, you release something and you wait for it and you wait for it and you're sitting there and nothing happens, and then like 3 days later it's had like 4 views and no comments, and then you think, where's all the hate that was supposed to be coming my way? See, fear of trolling should not stop you from making good media.
Mm-hmm. And I'm weathered in that department. I have weathered the storms of the zeitgeist movement. I'm ready for everything. Conspiracy theories, those people. I've taken my licks, so I can handle it. So now it's like when I deal with people. They're very, very mild in comparison. So, yeah.
You got to go after the animal rights activists. They can get violent in person.
Mm. Yeah.
You're not giving them ideas.
there are groups of people I would highly recommend not trolling. That would be one of them. Any kind of group that has any kind of terrorist affiliations, you definitely don't want to do that. You definitely don't want to do the Patriot or Sovereign Citizens Movement. They'll be willing to track you down. Neo-Nazis, bad idea. They will track you down too. But I don't know. I haven't heard about vegans coming after people. You would expect them to be a little bit too exhausted to actually come to your house and find you, wouldn't they?
I interviewed a guy here in Oregon who, he didn't get attacked by him quite, but the animal rights activists can be pretty threatening. They will get people together to send you emails, and they say they make plans on invading your house, and they explain to you how they could come after you if they wanted to. It can be frightening with those guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I never actually set out to offend people in the first place. I know some people do. Like, they go, I'm gonna get a lot of hits by doing the most offensive, controversial thing I can think of. But that was never really like my intention. So that's why I think maybe it wasn't as bad. For some reason, we just attracted people that wanted to talk about weird things instead of like outright, you're a weirdo. You know, I never got much of that. although during the Scottish independence referendum, because I was, you know, like I managed to offend everybody. I offended the yes side and the no side. So like, I wasn't really doing well. I mean, I think that people were just like, but our numbers shot up big time, but I think people were just looking at my stuff so that they could be outraged or horrified or whatever, man. Like, just to see, because I was skeptical of both sides, you know, and quite rightly so. And it wasn't just me. There was other people who were kind of on my side. We were just the sort of quiet minority that nobody was listening to.
Yep.
It's one of those things, man. But that was a time when there was really always good material, because, you know, there was times when I struggled for material, but at that point there was like the news every day, man. There was material, there was so much material I couldn't even do all the shows I wanted to do. It was that bad.
Mm-hmm. Interesting thing that a lot of people were talking about here in the States even. So, yeah.
Yeah, like secession movements in Texas and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everyone got really excited for a while because everyone went, man, Scotland's going to go independent. And then in Catalonia, they're going to go independent. And then it never happened in either place. Okay, a bit of an anticlimax, I'll honest. Yeah.
And now it's Texas's turn. I guess Texas wants to do it too. There's a building movement in Texas. And I think there was talk about it in Vermont and New Hampshire as well, isn't there?
I'm sure in New Hampshire.
Yeah, maybe that will give us plenty of good ideas to talk about on a podcast. But until then, we're going to go meta and talk about podcasting on a podcast. Or radio on a radio. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nick Hazelton, and we're back with Dan Green and Jim Jesus. How are you guys doing?
Very awesome. Well.
And we're talking about the art of podcasting and trolling. And we've been talking about some interesting stories. And I haven't had much experience with having to deal with trolls online. But I do have a couple people in my personal life that do like to troll me as much as they can, and I unfortunately fall for it. Like, I fall for it too much, and my dad is particularly good at this. I'll say something, I won't be looking at him, and I won't see that he's smiling. He'll ask me, he'll contradict me and try and get me to explain my point, even though I've explained it thousands of times to the family. And he just loves doing that. So trolling and I like doing it to people too. This runs in our family.
And trolling begins at home, Nick.
But it is one of my favorite things to do is to actually ask people to clarify, and you just act completely stupid. And trolling in person I think it's more entertaining than online. Do you guys do that?
I don't really use the term trolling. Well, I don't really use that term, but I suppose you kind of could put it that way. I've got an awful habit of winding people up, you know, especially my wife. I can't help it. And there's sometimes when I'm like must fight urge to wind her up, and I just can't do it. You know, it just takes over me, crawls up inside my skin and just gets into me. I can't help it. But I've got this kind of rule online that sometimes people make me angry online. And I've got this rule that I won't say anything to anyone online that I'm not prepared to say to their face. Just a kind of rule of thumb for me, do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm prepared to take a punching for something, then I'll say it online. It's just what I go for. But I don't know, I mean, like, you know, we're so kind of, you know, like, sometimes we might be always talking about trolls in a bad way, but then you're saying there how it can be lighthearted and it can be fun, you know, because trolling, you know, it's not always a bad thing. I mean, maybe sometimes it's your moral obligation to troll. If someone's really coming out with destructive nonsense, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that where, I don't know if I've ever done that to somebody who's, I thought was actually saying something really dumb and just kind of, maybe intellectually harmful. Most of the time, yeah, I'll go after them and say, well, no, wait a second. Why would you believe that? And kind of pull the Socratic method on them too, yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because, like, I mean, I know I talk a lot about free speech and freedom of speech and how important it is and things like that. And if we're really being consistent, I suppose, then, like, because I say I wouldn't have such a thing as hate speech, because I think that people should be allowed to say what they want, and then you use your free speech to tell them why they're wrong. Fair enough. So I suppose in some ways, some trolling does that. I don't know why I'm defending trolling for some reason. I didn't intend to do this. It sort of just happened.
He's in the closet. He's in the closet about being a troll. Come on, just admit it. We all do it. Come on. You all had that one person that you were just like, I'm going to ruin his day. I'm going to say whatever I can say to make him just want to throw something against the wall. Let's do it.
Do you ever constructively troll, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Is that all you do?
Well, there was a period where I was really learning about the Socratic method, and this was a few years ago, and I just started doing it to people, and like not even realizing that it was a form of trolling. And then someone pointed out, like, well, look at Jan Hetfield's channel on YouTube. And, you know, he's a reporter who goes and uses the Socratic method to interview people. And they get, like, really upset because he kind of, gets them to start from first principles and then starts, you know, building a kit. And then, like, they're just like, they can't deal with the fact that they're inconsistent. And they get upset and they storm off. And so I kind of do the same thing on YouTube, and I didn't realize at the time it was a form of trolling, but then I was like, then someone pointed it out, and I was like, that's brilliant, and I just kept it up. And then you always have that thing to fall back on when someone says, oh, you're just trolling. Like, no, actually, this is a Socratic method, and you can go and look at us on the internet, and then they're just like, oh, I see. Yeah.
It could be like they teach this thing in universities.
Yeah. I got a PhD in trolling.
You should offer an online trolling course, Jim. And then people will troll your trolling course.
Yeah. And then people will troll them.
It's just a long list of people trolling other people. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to troll trolls of trolls. Keep it going. Why not? I'm actually starting to have a newfound respect for people who troll now. I've changed my mind on this. While we're talking, I'm setting up like 5 or 6 fake accounts on like Twitter and stuff. Expect a load of new friend requests from people who look oddly like me.
Or maybe I shouldn't. I'm just going to get trolled all day by your sock puppets. I'll pass.
It's okay, Jim. You could be my trolling guru so I can turn against the master.
Come, my minion.
I will show you the ways of the troll.
Yeah, I mean, there's good ways of trolling. There's bad ways of trolling. If you're just constantly trolling all day, then yeah, that gets annoying. Then you got people who like dox people, and they consider that a form of trolling. And I think that's terrible. You know, but everybody's got their niche, and everybody can kind of comment and critique each other on how they want to troll. And you know, some people who are very anti-troll people end up trolling people. I've seen it before. I've been trolled by these people. I've been really trolled by these people, like, because I wasn't expecting it. They're so anti-troll, and then here they are trolling me. like, okay.
Oh, I think maybe we should mention, in case anyone listening doesn't know, like, doxing is basically, that's when you release personal information about someone, like address and things like that. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I welcome it. Bring it on. No, I don't. I'm just joking. I got a bit aggressive there.
I think maybe we should. I think everybody in the comment section, go to the Freedom Fiends and go to this episode and just troll the comment section. Let's see, and then we will grade you accordingly.
There'll be a prize for the best troll.
Yeah, $2 donation in Bitcoin.
The prize will be my admiration.
And of course, you know, my log, it would be Nick who won, and then he'd invite me on his podcast for pain.
No, he would let you on.
Yeah, he'd let me on. Right.
I think I'm going to start now. It's going to be my new thing. I'd be so bad at it, do you know what I mean? Like, seeing that I don't do it because I'm, like, too polite, and it wouldn't come across well. It would just be like, you, sir, have some inconsistencies in your thoughts, and quite frankly, with just a little bit of reading, you could really bruise up on that, and it would actually be quite good. You know, I'd end up getting too nice, and I'd end up helping people. I'd be one of the good trolls, and it would just get boring.
Well, that's an actual thing. That's actually called concern trolling. You're just basically saying, well, I agree with you, but I think you're doing this wrong. And concern trolling is like the worst thing to get trolled by, because you realize the guy was totally disingenuous. He really didn't believe anything that you believe. He was just putting on that front to get you to adopt a bad position. And then you're just like, dang it. Ah.
It kind of sounds passive aggressive.
Good show. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The concern trolling is very passive aggressive.
Yeah. We need to come up with new forms of trolling, then.
Yeah, you can be an innovator. There's a whole free market at your fingertips right now. And all you have to do is just be a little innovative.
I bet you somebody's beaten us to this. I'm going to check. We start with, like, Troll Academy. Do you know what I mean? It'll be like, six men enter, two trolls leave. You know, that's
kind of cool. I think 4chan is that place. but I don't think they have a formal classroom. That maybe you could set that up there.
Wait a minute, what is this? No, I think I'm looking at the trolling now. Now you've got me all interested in this.
Yeah.
Me and Nick are going to start trolling people.
Yeah, so back to podcasting. What really inspired you guys to get into it originally? I mean, was there any? I mean, I know you said Nick that it was you kind of inspired by Michael Dean, but was there anything that you really were like wanting to talk about before then? You just didn't have the means to do it, or what exactly inspired it?
It absolutely was philosophy. It's very hard to write an essay that's entertaining to read about epistemology, and it's also very hard to talk about it, but that was one thing that I was excited to talk about, is getting my views across to more people, and the podcast was a fantastic platform for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of similar as well. I sort of wanted to, like, I was not long, well, I wasn't going to say not long, but like I'd been sort of, well, I considered myself a libertarian for a while, but I was still in that, you know, that sort of early-ish stage where you want to tell everybody about it.
Yeah. No matter how much they don't want to hear about it, you need to tell them.
You have to hear about this. I know there's a lot of podcasts that got me into it that are still around. That's the thing. There's been a lot of podcasts that have been going a long time. Even like I'm like, so it's funny because some podcasts I used to listen to, and then maybe like one podcast I used to really like, it was great for years, and then it went and turned white nationalist on me. And
you know, it started, which one is that one?
It was right.
You don't have to mention my name, but
I'm going to ask. It was Red Ice Radio. I used to like, it's based out of Sweden, and like early on, they used to be more sort of that's why how I got into it, because it was conspiracy and things. But then they would have like Walter Block on and Stefan Kinsella, and they started talking about anarchism and libertarianism and Rothbard, and then I kind of got into it sort of through that. But then they started sort of having people on to apologize for the Nazis, and then everything became the fault of the Jews, and it's a shame.
Yeah, it's a shame.
We won't go white nationalist on you.
Yeah. Let's go to the free market. Get us in a better mood.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Says the Freedom Fiends, Redemption and the Third Act. I'm Dan Green, here with Jim Jesus and Nick Hazelton. We have been talking a lot about podcasting, trolling, that kind of thing, but I'd just like to take a moment to refer to the Fiends Handbook, page 64, section 3, that says Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And also, I would like to add personally that David Cameron is a top hat wearing, socially inept, morally bankrupt, fun hating android. So take that, Mr. Cameron, sir. Good form. Podcasting. One thing I did want to ask Nick though, Nick, you're a bit younger than us, and like it's interesting because you're making like podcasts and stuff, like dealing with philosophy and things. See, because it's like you said earlier on, it's kind of from your perspective and your understanding. Do you have you like had maybe people your age in that maybe get in touch with you and like say that it helped them because like hearing someone that's like their age and stuff instead of some like professor who's like 60 or something lecturing at them, you know, it would make it more accessible.
Yeah, actually, there are a good number of my friends that do listen to the show, and that's always exciting to hear from them. Every once in a while somebody will like, hey, I listened to the show last night and I really dug it. I like that you talked about blah 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 blah, but I didn't understand this and this, and you know, I start a little bit of a conversation. And then I've also had a couple younger people contact me saying that they listen. You know, I've got a 14-year-old in Utah listen to me, which was really cool to hear about. And he got to speak out in front of his class about something that I had talked about. So, yeah, it's I do get that. And it's really inspiring when you get those emails.
Nice. See, I imagine that would be easier, you know, like because it's like, you know, I just, when you hear someone that gives you something from your perspective, makes it a lot simpler. That's why I wanted to do like a sort of Scottish libertarian thing, because there was no one else doing it, and you know, I just wanted to hear one. So I had to make it myself.
Yep.
But you know, that's the thing. I mean, podcasting now, people should just do it, because like we were saying earlier, man, it's affordable. I mean, Jim, we never cared so much about sort of what you've got going on setup wise, but like I assume you didn't spend a fortune to create your studio.
I think, yeah, maybe for my mixer I spent about $50, microphone spent about $50, and I had most everything else, a computer, you know, a little tablet to play the intro and outro music and stuff, and I already had all that stuff, so you know, building all that was fairly, but the hard part was putting it all together and making sure it all worked. That was a real tough thing. And I even had Michael Dean to come on and try to help me do things, and we still couldn't get it to work. But you know, after I was like, just leave and I'll figure it out, you know, and I ended up figuring it out. I hope I did. We'll find out when the first episode comes out, hopefully by the end of this week, the first week of September. I'll have the first episode out, and then I'll announce the title, because apparently I'm not supposed to until the first episode's out. So,
well, is that a secret?
Nah, it's got to be a secret.
But, yeah. And then you could turn around and say, oh, hi, I'm Jim Jesus, and I'm going to let Nick Hazelton on.
Yeah. Jim Jesus podcast. We let this guy on. Oh, reason. What's really interesting about podcasting is that you're actually talking to people, and when you're talking to someone, it reaches a different chord with them than when they read something. You know, and it seems like that's the preferred way to go. So if you're a blogger, and there's a couple bloggers that do this, who will read out their blog posts on a YouTube video or on a podcast, and some people prefer that method. You know, it's better for me when I'm, because I love driving around town, and it's great to, you know, just to plug in my phone and just listen to an article rather than sit down at a computer and read it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Man,
that's, and I think, is one of the things Michael Dean always says is that I don't know if he's quoting somebody else, but wasn't it something like the most powerful form of communication is one person talking to another?
Yep.
Absolutely, man. Because you might not have time to, you put a big massive article in front of people and they turn their nose up at it, but it's much easier just to put in headphones and just go about your day and listen to things, you know, while you're doing, like, I listen to it at work.
Yep, so start a podcast.
Do it. It's easy.
Yep.
Go to creamyradioaudio.com and find out.
Creamy Radio Audio.
Excellent plug there.
Yep. It was a great show, guys.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Thanks for letting me on. Worms.